Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Oh yes, and shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Tuesday, December 6th, 2016. We're going to be covering chapters 21, 22, and 23 of 1 Samuel. We're going to finish 1 Samuel this week. I'll be hitting chapters 24, 25, and 26 tomorrow, 27, 28, and 29 on Thursday, and 30 and 31 on Friday, wrapping up 1 Samuel. Then we will go into 2 Samuel on Monday the 12th. So let's get this started with Dawid is fleeing from Shaul, and he goes to see Achimelech. That means brother of Melech, and that is of Phoenician origin. Verse 1 of chapter 21. And he rose up and departed, and Jonathan went to the city. In other words, that's David rose up and departed. Verse 2, then went Dawid to Nob 5011 to Achimelech 288, the priest. And Achimelech came trembling 2729 to meet Dawid and said to him, why are you alone and no man with you? He saw just David. Verse 3. Dawid replied to Achimelech the priest, the king has commanded me a business, 1697, or a matter, and has said to me, let no man know anything of the business about which I send you, and what I have commanded you, and I have caused to know my servants to such and such a place. Verse 4. Now, therefore, what is under your hand? That's a question. What is under your hand? In other words, what do you have available on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what is found? Whatever you can find to give me provisions. I'm still having bronchial problems, folks. Please forgive me if I have to mute every so often. The priest answered Dawid and said, no common bread is under my hand. And that's 2455. Keel, that's fit for common use as food, okay? But there is consecrated, 6944, that's holy bread, consecrated to Yahweh, better known as the showbread. There is consecrated bread. If the young men have kept themselves only from women, 389, only. Well, he really doesn't have anybody with him. It's not clear that he does. Verse 6, Dawid answered the priest, saying to him, because that women have been kept away, 6113, yesterday, 8543, and the third, 8032, since I came forth, And the vessels, 3:6-7, of the young men are consecrated, and the journey, 18:70, common, yea, because it was consecrated, 6:9-4:2, this day in the vessel. That's 3 days. Verse 7. So the priest gave him consecrated bread, because there was no bread there, but the bread, 3:8-9:9, of the presence, 64:40, that was taken from before Yahweh to put bread of heat, 2:5-7, at the time it was taken away. In other words, warm bread, fresh bread. They removed the old bread and brought out the fresh bread and put it there. But the old bread was still consecrated. And verse 21:7, you can reference Leviticus 24, verses 5-9. Now remember, Dawid was anointed by Shemuel. He was an anointed person. He was consecrated. So it was legal for him to have that bread. Now this will show you the perfidy and the betrayal of the Edomites. Verse 8, a man of the servants of Shaul was there that day, restrained, 61:13, before Yahweh, and his name was Doeg, 16:73, the Edomi, 1:30, a mighty 47 herdsman, 7:4-6:2, of Shaul. Okay, let's stop right here. He was an Edomite. He was not allowed in the temple, or the tabernacle, rather. He was restrained as Netzar. He was barred from the tabernacle because he was of cursed seed. He was an Edomite. Verse 9. Now he was listening. Let's just put it that way. Spying out. Verse 9, said Dawid to Achimelech, is there not here under your hand, in other words, in your control, do you have in possession a spear or sword? Because I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business was urgent. 5:1-6:9. Well, there was one there. Got to clear my throat again. Verse 10, said the priest, the sword of Goliath the Pelishti, whom you slew in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped, 3:8-7:4, in a cloth, 8:0-7:1, behind the ephod. If you will take it, take it, because there is no other except that here. Said Dawid, none like that, give it to me. And verse 10, you can reference 1 Samuel 17, verse 51. Well, remember that Doeg was there, and he was skulking around, and he was listening to all this. Verse 11. Dawid rose up and fled that day from the presence of Shaul and went to Achish, 3:9-7, the king of Gath. Verse 12, the servants of Achish said to him, is not this Dawid the king of the land? They knew he was king, they knew, because Shemuel had anointed him. Did they not sing of him as they danced, saying, Shaul has slain his thousands, Dawid his tens of thousands. Well, that song followed him again. He was famous. Verse 13. Dawid remembered these words in his mind. Okay, that's literally put to place or had placed these words in his mind. Here is 3824, literally the heart, but they used that as the source of thought in the Hebrew, as opposed to emotions in the Greek. It was opposite. Dawud remembered these words in his mind and was much afraid from the presence of Achish, the king of Gath. Verse 14. He disguised, 8138, his judgment, 2940, in their sight and acted the madman, 1984. That's all one word, acted the madman, in their hands. He scratched marks, 8427, on the doors of the gate and let his saliva, 7388, fall down upon his beard. In other words, he was drooling, because he was worried that Achish was going to capture him and turn him over to Shaul to be killed. He didn't trust him. Verse 15, said Achish to his servants, lo, you see the man shows madness, 7696. For what reason have you brought him to me? Verse 16, do I need madmen that you bring this fellow to play the madman upon me? Shall this fellow come into my house? Well, that's the end of this chapter. Now, the 5 loaves of bread that he got from the priest were enough for one man on a journey. They were not enough for a whole bunch of people. The idea that he had men with him and they also ate consecrated bread really is an error. Only a consecrated man could eat that particular bread, but he didn't want to give his plans out even to the priest. He was trying to hide what he was doing. Daily, when the bread sat on the table for a day, it's like day-old bread in the bakeries here. They're at a reduced price. They replaced that bread. They put fresh hot bread out every day before Yahweh, and it would be eaten by the priests. And Dawud, as the anointed, could eat this bread also. Doeg was a half-breed, Edomite, Hittite. And of course, he was going to betray Dawud and do other horrible things. That's coming up, because he was of a cursed seed people. So let's get into chapter 22 of the book of 1 Samuel. Just a second here. I have to continually clear my lungs out, folks. I'm sorry, but it's a physical problem that I have. Verse 1 of chapter 22. You can reference verse 1 in the title of Psalms 57 and Psalm 142. Verse 1, Dawud departed from there and escaped to the cave, 4631, that's Me'arath, and that's used as a stronghold, of Adullam, 5725. And when his brothers and all of his father's household heard, they went down there to him. Verse 2, every man in straits, 4689, that's a difficult position, people that had problems, and every man that had a creditor, 5378, some people that were in debt, and every man bitter, 4751, of feelings, 5315, that's malcontents, gathered to him. and he became a leader, 8269, over them. There were about 400 men with him. He had a pretty sizable little army there. Verse 3, Dawid went from there to Mizpeh, 4708, of Moab, and said to the king of Moab, let my father and mother please come forth and stay with you until I know what Elohim will do for me. So the king of Moab was not particularly a friend of Shaul. So we have verse 4. So he led them, 5148, that is Nechem. Now the Aramaic Targum and the Syriac read left them with instead of led them. There's a difference there. So he led them or left them with the king of Moab, led them before the king of Moab, and they dwelled with him all the time Dawid was in the stronghold. 4686, and speaking of the cave of Adullam, he wanted his parents in a safe position apart from him. Verse 5, but the prophet God, G-A-D, like the tribe, said to Dawid, abide not in the stronghold, go and come into the land of Yehudah. Then Dawid departed and came into the forest, 3293, of Kereth, 2802. Well, here's an important section. Pay attention to this. Starting with verse 6. When Shaul heard that Dawid was discovered, 3045, that means known, and his men with him, as Shaul abode in Gibeah under a tamarisk tree, 815, in Ramah, spear in hand, and all his servants standing about him. Verse 7, said Shaul to his servants standing about him, hear now, you sons of Yemini, sons of the right hand, Benyamini, Benjaminites, will the son of Yishai give all of you fields and vineyards and make all of you captains of thousands or captains of hundreds? Verse 8, because all of you have conspired against me, 7194, and none disclosed it to my ear that my son made a covenant with the son of Yishai, and none of you are concerned for me, 2470, or disclose to my ear that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait, 693, this day. His paranoia is rampant. He's accusing all of his people. You've all conspired against me. He's going mad. I mean, this guy is off the track. Verse 9. Doeg the Edomite, that's the one that was spying on Dawid and the priest, who sat over the servants of Shaul, answered and said, I saw the son of Yishai come to Nobah to Achimelech, the son of Achitub. He inquired of Yahweh for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath the Pelishti, that rat-fink Edomite. And 22, 9, and 10, you can reference 1 Saul 21, verses 7 through 9, and the title of Psalm 52. Verse 11, the king sent to call Achimelech the priest, the son of Achitub, and all his father's household, the priests that were in Nobah, all the brothers, if they were of the Aharonic seed line, were all priests, and they all came to the king. Verse 12, said Shaul, hear now, son of Achitub. He replied, here I am, my lord. Verse 13, said Shaul to him, "For what reason have you conspired against me, you and the son of Yishai, and that you have given him bread and a sword and have inquired of Elohim for him, that he should rise up against me to lie in wait this day?" Now he's even accusing the priest. Priest didn't know what was going on. David kept him ignorant. He told him a story. He's innocent. Verse 14, Ahimelech answered the king, saying, "But who is so faithful among all your servants as Dawud, who is the king's son-in-law, and moves 5493 at your bidding 4928, and is honorable in your house?" 3513, honorable. "That day I began to inquire of Elohim for him. Be it far from me, let not the king impute a thing unto his servant." 7760, like impute guilt unto his servant, "nor to the house of my father, because your servant knew nothing of all of this, less or more." Now this is verse 16. "Said the king, you shall surely be put to death, Ahimelech, you and all your father's house." Now, let's stop here. There is no trial. There are no three witnesses that are required for a death sentence. Putting him to death violates Yahweh's commandments. And you can reference Numbers 35, verse 30, and Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6 and 7, and chapter 19, verse 15. He's about to violate Yahweh's law again. Now, here's verse 17. "Said the king to the guards," 7323, the men of foot, "standing about him, turn around and kill the priests of Yahweh, because their hand is also with Dawud, and because they knew when he fled and did not disclose it to my ear." But the servants of the king would not put forth their hand to attack, 6293, the priests of Yahweh. The Israelites under his command refused the order because they were righteous and they knew not to do that. Those were the anointed priests of Yahweh. They may not harm them. Verse 18, and here we go. "Said the king to Doeg, turn around and attack the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned around and attacked the priest and killed on that day 85 men that wore a linen ephod," the mark of the priest. He killed 85 anointed servants of Yahweh because he was an Edomite. Think on that today. Killing the innocent. Killing the servants of Yahweh. What do the Edomites today do? Nothing changes, folks. Nothing. Verse 19. "And Nobe, the city of priests, he smote with the sword from men and women and boys and infants and oxen and asses and sheep with the edge of the sword." He went through and just killed everybody. Not just the 85 priests. He killed the whole city of the priests, which wasn't a real big place. But he killed everything. That's the Edomite for you. Verse 20. "One of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Ebiathar, 54, escaped and fled after Dawud." Verse 21, "Ebiathar told Dawud that Shaul had killed Yahweh's priests." Verse 22, "Said Dawud to Ebiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Shaul. I surrounded 5437, all the lives 5315. That's Bekol Nefesh. Sabothi Bekol Nefesh. Surrounded all the lives of your father's house. In other words, just his very presence caused them all to be killed by this wicked Edomite mixed breed dog that was serving Shaul. Get a hit of iced tea there. Verse 23. Abide with me and do not fear, because he that seeks my life seeks your life. But with me you shall be guarded. 4931. That gives you a witness right there in Dawood's time what the Edomites do to our people. They're doing it to us now. Esau Edom always hates the pure-blooded seed of Jacob Israel. And any way they can harm us, they will. They are constantly at it, conspiring and doing acts of violence and fomenting wars so our people can be killed. These are the last days, folks. Now let's get into chapter 23. This is short. Verse 1. Dawood was told, saying, behold, the Philistim fight against Keilah. That's 7084, and are pillaging 8154, the threshing floors, 1637. And that is where grain was processed and stored. So they're stealing all the grain. Verse 2. Dawood inquired of Yahweh, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistim? Because he had a priest with him, remember? And Yahweh said to Dawood, go and smite the Philistim and save Keilah. Verse 3, Dawood's men said to him, behold, we are afraid here in Yehuda. How much more if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistim? They didn't have the faith in Yahweh that Dawood did. So, Dawood inquired of Yahweh yet again. And Yahweh answered him, saying, rise up, go down to Keilah, because I will give the Philistim into your hand. He had faith in Yahweh, but his men didn't quite have the faith that he did. But he was the leader, and Yahweh was going to take care of that for him. Verse 5, so Dawood and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistim, and drove away 5090 their livestock, 4735, and smote them with a great slaughter. Just like Yahweh said. So Dawood saved the inhabitants of Keilah. He just did a huge service to these people. Okay, remember this. He saved them. He went down and fought and drove the enemy away from their city and saved these people. Verse 6. It was when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he came down with an ephod in his hand. That was the holy garment, okay, that the priest wore. Verse 7. Shaul was told that David had come to Keilah. Shaul said in his heart, Elohim has alienated him into my hands. That's Nikar 5.2.3.4. Because he is shut in, 5.4.6.2, by entering into a town that has gates and bars. Oh, really? Verse 8, Shaul proclaimed, 8085, and then that's cause to hear, proclaimed all the people to war, to go down to Keilah to lay siege to David and his men. David knew that Shaul devised 2790, literally plowed evil against him. That's plowed evil. And he said to Abiathar the priest, bring here the ephod. Verse 10. Then said David, O Yahweh Elohe Israel, that's God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Shaul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. In other words, because I'm in here. Verse 11. Will the citizens of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Shaul come down as your servant has heard? O Yahweh, Elohe Israel, please tell your servant. Yahweh said he will come down. Verse 12, then said David, will the citizens of Keilah deliver me up with my men into the hands of Shaul? Yahweh said, they will deliver you up. These people that he just saved from certain death by the Philistine were going to turn him over. That applies to the day we have the people within us that will turn the rest of us over. We will have traitors in our midst. When times get really hard, they will turn themselves over to the powers that be and then rat on the rest of us and tell them where we are, where we're going, how many of us there are, what kind of weapons we have, what kind of supplies. They'll spill the beans. They'll sing like a boys' choir. That's what they'll do. And they won't get mercy from the enemy. They'll use them for what they can use them for a couple of days, treat them good, and then they'll just shoot them in the head when they're no use anymore. But they won't believe that. They will think they're going to go back and have at least some kind of comforts, and they will betray their own people. That's coming too, folks. You need to be prepared for that. It's a big disappointment, but that's the way it's going to go. Verse 13. David and his men, about 600, rose up and went forth from Keilah and went wherever they could go. It was reported to Shaul that David had escaped from Keilah and he ceased going forth. In other words, he called the war off. Well, he's gone and he's fled out there, so there's no point in going down there. War's canceled. Go home. Verse 14, Dawid abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. 2:1-2:8, Shaul sought him all the time, but Elohim gave him not into his hand. So Yahweh was protecting him. Verse 15. Dawid saw that Shaul came forth to seek his life. And Dawid was in the wilderness of Ziph in Koresha. 2793, and that means wooded height. Verse 16. Rose up Jonathan, son of Shaul, and went to Dawid in Koresha, and strengthened his hand in Elohim. In other words, he gave him encouragement. He says, trust in Yahweh, and he'll deliver you. That's what he was doing, giving him brotherly comfort, because they were both faithful to Yahweh. Verse 17, he said to him, fear not, because the hand of Shaul, my father, shall not find you, and you shall reign as king, 4:4-2:7, over Israel. And I shall be next in rank, 4:9-3:2, to you, and that also shall Shaul, my father, knows. So he knew that Dawid was going to be anointed, was the anointed king, and he was going to be his right-hand man, because he knew it was a righteous thing of Yahweh. Here's verse 18. In verse 18, you can reference 1 Samuel 18, verse 3. The two made a covenant before Yahweh, and Dawid abode in Koresha, and Jonathan went to his house. Here's verse 19. And you can reference the title of Psalm 54 on verse 19 here. Then came up the Ziphim, 21:30, those are the Ziphites, those that lived in Ziph, to Shaul in Gibeah, saying, is not Dawid hiding among us in strongholds in Koresha, in the hill of Kakilah? 2:4-4:4. Which is on the south side of Yeshimon, 3:4-5:2, more traitors. Verse 20, now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your being to come down, and our part is to deliver him into the king's hand. They were sucking up to the bad king. Verse 21, and this is pure hypocrisy. Said Shaul, blessed be you of Yahweh, for you have shown me compassion. 25:50. They weren't going to be blessed of Yahweh. Shaul was not blessed of Yahweh. He was evil at that point. Verse 22. Go, please, and prepare more, and know and see the place where he sets his foot is. That's clumsy in English. I realize that, but that's how it reads in the Hebrew. And who has seen him there? For it is said to me he is very cunning. That's 6:1-9:1 doubled. Very cunning. Verse 23, see and come to know all the hiding places where he hides, and return to me with certainty. 3:5-5:9. And I shall go with you, and it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him. 2:6-6:4, throughout all the thousands of Yahuda. Verse 24. They rose up and went to Ziph before Shaul, but Dawid and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the desert plain, 6160, that's the Arabah, to the south of Yeshimon. verse 25. Shaul and his men went to seek him. They told Dawud, and so he came to the rocks, 5553, or cliffs, and abode in the wilderness of Maon. When Shaul heard, he pursued Dawud in the wilderness of Maon. Verse 26, Shaul went from one side of the hill, and Dawud was in haste to go because of the presence of Shaul, because Shaul and his men surrounded Dawud and his men to capture them. 86:10. Got to clear my chest. Verse 27. But there came a messenger to Shaul, saying, make haste and come, because the Pelishtim have invaded, 6584, upon the land. Yahweh's hand was in that too. So Shaul had to leave. So Shaul returned from pursuing after Dawud and went to meet the Pelishtim. Therefore they called that place Selah Hamalekoth, the rock of separation. Now verse 29 in the King James Version is verse 1 of chapter 24 in the Hebrew text, okay? What we have in this chapter is a bunch of traitors that we need to watch out for in the future among our own ranks. Because we're going to have people that at first are all for us. Oh yeah, we're with you. We're with you. And then when it really gets rough and they get uncomfortable and they have to camp out and there's no hot showers and no refrigerators or microwaves and things are uncomfortable and they get a little itchy and they're tired, they have to walk a lot because they can't take the roads because they'll be seen. And they have to live undercover and have to hide out and to survive the tribulation, because that's what we're going to have to do. We may have to fight some. There, oh, I want to go home. I want to have things the way they used to be. Things are never going to be the way they used to be. Not until the tribulation ends and Yeshua sets foot on this planet. And then all will be well. And you will be part of the ruling class of people because you are faithful to Yahweh and to Yeshua. But they're not going to do that. They're going to lose faith. And not only are they going to lose faith, they're going to leave. And at the first opportunity to get small favors from the beast system, they're going to tell on us. Betray their own people. They love themselves and the word and the world, pardon me, more than they love Yahweh and his word. They will be a pack of Judases, okay? They will be betrayers. And there will be many of them. You watch and see, folks, what I'm telling you. Watch and see. This is the nature of mankind. Me, 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 me. It's all about me. Everything about me. I'm more important. They lose their sense of honor and duty and brotherhood. They lose their faith and Almighty Yahweh, because things are inconvenient. They are weak pathetic people. But Scripture says those that overcome, those that will not lose their faith, even in the face of death, will have everlasting life. Yeshua said very clearly to us, he who loves his life, that's life here on this planet and the way things are and the order of things and the stuff that he accumulates, he who loves his life shall lose it. All of that's going to pass away. But he who loses his life, this has a dual meaning as well. He who abandons the way of the world and its ungodly system and lives according to Yahweh's teachings, that's one version of it, or he who perishes from this body in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, you're going to check out of this temple sooner or later. Okay? If you do it with the name of Yahweh on your lips, praising him, you will have everlasting life because you'll be back. The creator of the entire universe, through his will, is certainly capable of reassembling a perfect, incorruptible body for us out of the elements that are in the universe. Whole new design system that won't break down. No tooth decay, no glaucoma, you don't have to wear glasses, you don't have arthritis, you don't have a cough, you won't get cancer, you won't have a heart attack, you won't have arthritis. That new machine that you're going to be occupying, folks, is an eternal, divine, blessed body that he's going to give us. Our science can't create that. You're not going to get proof from the scientists that it's possible, because our pathetic science only shows us that we don't know far more than we do know. We're not talking about some man-made contraption. We're talking about something formed and created by the divine designer of the entire universe, Yahweh. There is only one Yahweh. And when he says he's gonna do that for us, he's gonna do it. He's the only one you can trust. You cannot trust in arms and ammunition or weapons or political organizations or presidents or congressmen or senators. You can only trust in Yahweh. He is the only one that will never let us down and never lie to us. You don't trust in horses and chariots, people. You just don't. I made that mistake once. I was in the militia. Oh, the militia's going to do this and going to do that. No, they're not. They're going to sit around a campfire with a beer in their hand and talk tough. And when push comes to shove, they're not going to do a thing. There's a lot of militias that are Judeo-Christians, and they will help hunt us down. Imagine that. They will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. Oh, we're going to hunt down those racist Christian identity people. Because Pastor Leibowitz told us they were evil. And they're white like us, a lot of them. But they'll hate their own people. And they'll hunt their own people and serve the beast system. And they will be cannon fodder. And they don't care whether they get killed or not. The beast system doesn't. they'll let them go out and come against us. We may very well have to fight other white folks. Okay? Are you ready for that? Well, you better get ready, because there are going to be people of our own kind that choose the opposite side. They choose willingly to serve the beast system. It is very sad. It grieves me greatly to have to say that. But that's what's coming our way. We see here the betrayal process in Shaul's time. But the righteous Israelites would not kill the priests of Yahweh. So the Edomite did it. And we still have a very, very large Edomite problem today, folks. Well, I'm coming down to the end of these chapters. I'm going to do the rest of 1 Samuel this week. Tomorrow's show is chapter 24, 25, and 26. Thursday's show will be chapters 27, 28, and 29. And we will finish 1 Samuel on Friday with chapters 30 and 31. And then the following Monday on the 12th, we will begin the book of 2 Samuel. Actually, Samuel was all one book at one time, but it has been separated, and it is easier for me to do it in a separated form because most people just have a King James Bible and they can follow along much more easily. And I want to make this as easy for you as possible and make it easy for you to keep track. So you can read along with me, and you can note the changes if you have a concordance, a Strong's concordance. I'm always giving Strong's numbers. And you can look things up that way. And if you miss some of the numbers, you can go to the archives and get this show from the archive and replay it and write down what you have missed. So I will say Shalom Aleichem to all of you. That is, peace be with you. And I will talk to you again tomorrow. Praise Yahweh, and may He bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads again.